time for Blindly Obvious.
Hello and welcome to Blindly Obvious. I'm Tyler with my co-host Jeff, and we've got a big one today for discussion. What's the harma with Big Pharma? And as punny as it may sound, I think really the result may be all more serious. So, you know, we're going to talk today about who is it that's giving us these medications, and, you know, in the terms of who's pushing them on to us, and who is it that gives us the advice in the sense of anytime there may be a crisis scenario in the country, who is it that gives us the answers of what it is we should follow? And ultimately, who do we trust when it comes down to it?
You know, I think you said a mouthful in regards to this, the seriousness of this issue. You know, this isn't just the big elephant in the room. It's like a giant gorilla or maybe Godzilla right on the back, you know?
Absolutely.
Maybe Godzilla's eating the elephant. But, the opening question I want to get to as we kind of dive into this is how do you determine who and why you trust? Like the people, organizations, think about what is that magic formula for you into the people in your circle that you trust? Why do you trust them and not trust others?
You could start with just maybe even on a friend level, I guess, you know, for me in the sense of getting some guidance around, you know, somebody who's not necessarily leading me into things all the time per se would help me build up some good trust with them. You know, I think if in the terms of human to human connection per se, I think if you follow someone's, you know, someone's actions over their words, I think that's a solid indicator, at least in myself, of how I try to build trust with others.
So yeah, you got the individual level relationships that we are our peers, or maybe even someone older than us, you know, more like a grandfather or a fatherly mentor figure.
Providing some like form of wisdom.
So you got those things. Then you've also got organizations. Our society doesn't work very well without trust. For example, when we buy things in whatever store you shop at, your grocery store, when you buy something and you get home and you find that it's rotten, you probably don't think twice of returning to that store with your receipt or calling them and trying to speak to a manager to get it right and get the product in a good condition.
Absolutely.
You know, and they do. They typically tend to take care of their customer, and there's trust. And so I think what you're saying is that you get to know people or organizations.
Through your, you know, personal experience of rather it be a friend or a business you return to over and over again. You get
there's
to
a
know
consistency,
really exactly.
right? A consistency in behavior. And I was thinking about some of the trust that we have, we inherit. Mm-hmm. So what I mean by that is, our parents trusted this person. Or somebody I love that I think a lot of, they trust this person or organization. So
naturally, I should as well.
Right. And we just kind of give them a pass. Mm-hmm. And I think that this particular subject kind of falls in that category. You know, we may have some personal relationship with a person or an organization and have the inheritance factor going for this. On top of that, everything that we see through the eye of media reinforces that trust for us. Not necessarily that it's in a good way.
Right.
You know, almost like a brainwashing level.
You know, there's almost a narrative that's spun of one way for you to think, and then there's just reformation of all of the information that was just given to you. Everybody gets on the same bus of whatever was just told to you is the only way of existence.
Right. I'm the son of a doctor. One of my older brothers is also a medical doctor. On the other side, my wife's side, her grandfather, who's passed away now, was a chiropractor. And it was funny. There was some tension there, you know, as they each would talk about their different associations and practices. Where,
sure.
For example, you know, doctors are big on drugs. They don't know much about nutrition. They don't know much about, I mean, they know eat healthy and so forth, mm-hmm. but it seemed that they know much more about drugs
yep.
than holistic, getting your body in a place where it can heal itself. And on the flip side, you know, I heard chiropractors shy away from drugs, almost not exclusively, but it's a last ditch resort.
Yep.
And it's just about getting your body aligned in the proper way and proper nutrition so that it can do what God designed it to do. And that's to regenerate and heal.
Almost opposite ends of the
Absolutely.
Perspective, per
yeah.
se. You know, taking first and foremost, if we look at why doctors, in my opinion, exclusively are about pharmaceutical medicines in the early 1900s, you can kind of, you know, see that when the Rockefellers and Carnegies got together, John D. Rockefeller and Andrew Carnegie get together, they start to really weaponize the American healthcare system through oil patents and all the different pharmaceutical medications they're able to make. I think a great Vice or article to read would be the Flexner Accords of 1911. It really talks about the big push to end holistic medicines. I think back in the early 1900s, there was 155 schools teaching holistic medicine, and by 1925, they were all closed. So you can see this massive push for people to be, you know, once again, forced into one narrative. And then at the same time, these same people forcing this narrative had holistic healers until the day they died.
Wasn't it that group that also, I want to say they coined that whole phrase of quackery, right? They mm-hmm. were trying to label your more holistic doctors.
Quasi-science.
Yeah.
Yes.
Almost labeling them as more like the old Western
snake oil salesman. Yeah.
So we were suspicious of them. And what's interesting is you're talking about this. Rockefeller was not a poor man, and he was able to throw all this money not only toward papers, newspapers and such, media of the day, but at universities. And he was able to wiggle his way in, spending a little bit of coin on the front end to make a whole lot of money.
Well, it's actually
later.
Interesting you say that. After they set up their advisory board with Flexner, they started handing out the grants to the different universities and schools, and you wouldn't get the money unless you agreed to push their doctrine. After all of the holistic medicine, after all the schools were closed up, I mean, you can see very easily how they were controlling the narrative directly through money. And after Standard Oil, after he started Standard Oil, you're exactly right. He had plenty of money to do whatever he saw fit.
And did.
Yes,
from
he
what
did.
I understand. And all this stuff is, it's out in plain sight. Anyone can go look this stuff up. We're not just kind of making up an account here. This is uncontested facts.
Well, absolutely. And you just said, you know, once again, who do you trust? I wouldn't expect anyone to trust us more than the words we say. I expect you to, if
look
you're
it
interested,
up. Yeah.
seek it, what it is we are saying. And if you find it to be true, then know it is knowledge. If you find it to be false, you know, offer contradiction.
Right. I simply brought up that I have family in the medical system just to say that, if anything, I would probably be more defensive of my own family and the medical system. And quite the contrary, I'm incredibly suspicious of the medical community. I've had many doctors in their arrogance not listen to me, where I, because of my medical background with my family and hearing them treat things and so forth, that I had a little bit of knowledge of things, not on a doctor level, but
absolutely.
Enough to know something more than possibly the average Joe. And I would say, you know, I think I have this, not that. And they would treat me for the wrong thing when in fact I was spot on and almost killed me a couple times. It's like, what in the world? And it was just foolishness.
Well, medical malpractice
hubris.
Is one of the leading causes
well, and that's,
of death. And
yeah. Like, I was just thinking that very same thing. It's like, you know, we don't realize this as we try and do all these safety measures, seatbelts and whatever else, and regulations that are imposed on us. What about, where's the regulation imposed on the medical community? Which, like you just said, medical malpractice is one of the top killers in the world that we don't talk about.
Yes, that's exactly right. And I don't think it's so much a regulation of the people, because I think there are many good doctors and nurses, great
absolutely.
People in the front lines that are awesome, awesome people who are being, in some cases, extremely overworked. They're doing the job of two or three people. You have other instances of they've went to school and they've been given the doctrine. That's all they know. I mean, so if that's all you know, of course, that's what you're going to think is the best course of action to treat someone. But I think the pendulum has just swung too far in the sense of, like you just said, doctors aren't even listening in some cases to their patients anymore. And that should be the most important relationship, is you and your doctor.
Well, and they take an oath, do no harm. And I know there are many doctors who take that seriously. My brother and my father, both two people I respect tremendously in their particular field. And if I ever do have ailments, they're the first people I call.
Absolutely.
So I'm one of those. I see, I'm right-handed and I love using my right hand, but there are times I use my left hand and I use holistic medicine. That's probably my right hand. And I use medical, the medicine side as well. When there are times like antibiotics, I try not to use them often, but there are times when it's necessary. Surgery, I've had cancer. It had to be removed surgically. So there is a time for that. going back to doctors, I appreciate them. I appreciate nurses. I appreciate having here in America the still, it's still the best. It's not what it once was, I think, but it's still the best in the world. But even at its best, it's one of the top killers. And you can't get away from that. The other side for the good doctors is I've seen in the last 2 years, doctors are afraid to question the narrative being pushed on TV regarding this little poke people had to get. Those that did had their licenses threatened by the AMA and the boards they sit under. And that's not good. Because here they are, this oath that they've taken, and now that is suspect. And now that's the enemy, right?
And my problem is, regardless of your opinion on said subject, to not allow someone who has a degree in medicine to speak their opinion about the medicine should be alarming to anyone.
Absolutely.
Whether you agree or disagree.
Absolutely.
That's just an alarming fact.
And I mean, especially the ones that it's not an uninformed opinion. They not only have the education background, they're using this daily in their offices and are seeing a certain result and going, wait a second, something's wrong, and they're terrified to speak out.
That's correct. That's, and even before that instance, you had other, you know, like treatments and whatnot being offered in the same type of scenarios of where they were just once again silenced. And that's not to say they all were 100% effective. It's just to say, if we're going to silence the people who have alternative opinion on medicine, who have degree in medicine, who's next?
Right. Yeah.
Or what's next?
You know, it used to be we had a First Amendment that was honored by all, not just by our government, but it was even supported by corporations. You know, it was all the, but now you are seeing the censorship. And listen, this very broadcast, we may have to kind of bleep some names here of things that we've already said just because of censorship. And that way we can still get the word out. So I don't know how we'll do that creatively if we need to, but when you go back to the history, so the AMA, you know, the guy who reshaped it to the system we have today, most people don't know about his personal views and how he viewed people, how it gave them permission to experiment and even exterminate certain people groups in the eugenics process. Do you know much about that?
Yeah, and I think you can kind of see right around the same time, the establishment of things like Planned Parenthood and the people who played a role in that, they believed in what they called static society, that populations of, you know, certain colors or minorities shouldn't grow, shouldn't thrive. And if you look...
Or be terminated.
Sure. And if you look at where all of the Planned Parenthood clinics tend to be, they usually are in minority neighborhoods.
Some of the most monstrous things we've ever seen mankind do
have happened to the minority population.
Under that whole mindset that the AMA, the organization that says do no harm, did the exact opposite in the cloak of goodness and kindness.
Yep.
And still does today.
Once again, the words don't match the actions.
Absolutely. And it's troubling. The vast majority of doctors get in medicine for all the right reasons and do most of what they do for all the right reasons. And for the most part, do no harm.
Correct. But and once again, if you went through schooling and were taught a specific way and that's the only thing you knew, you wouldn't know what you don't know. I mean, of course. So if that's how people are being taught and different protocols and you follow these protocols only, or you won't get these grants, that's the only thing that's going to be produced is one side of the story.
Right. We're having whistleblowers come out, not only in doctor's offices, nurses and doctors, part of hospitals, but even in the, how do you say this? The organizations that provided us the thing that we're having to get in our arms. And
yes.
Showing there's more than a scandal here.
Absolutely.
There's more than reason for concern and question. But this same organization, now think about this, has control of the media. How so? Most of the commercials that I see are pharmaceutical.
That's exactly right.
What does that mean? It means that news network that is putting out these commercials is financially profiting from that commercial. They're getting paid. Do you think they're going to report? They're going to expose the company that is carrying them
That's
financially?
Correct. Certainly a conflict of interest.
Absolutely.
At the very least of we've all of us have played a part in this, in the sense of, I can think of a time in my life that any time I'd have the sniffles, and I'm going to the doctor and they tell me I have a viral infection, and I'm kind of angry that I'm not getting those antibiotics because I want to feel better 5 minutes from now.
Right.
You know, they said, well, those aren't going to work for you. You have a viral infection. There's no need for you to have those. But I think we've all been so need it right now and fix it right now that we all have played a part in this, of what's happened.
Listen, I think we all can agree there is something dark within all of us. We've all lied. We've all probably taken something, given enough time, something that wasn't ours. Said things we shouldn't have said, done things we should never have done. We've hurt people we never thought we would. And all that to say is we have, all of us, a propensity to evil, to want to profit, to want to thrive. There are some people who don't resist that urge. They are dark.
That's true.
And the Bible,
I think they're very few, but they are, that
but they
is
are
true.
There. They are mm-hmm. there. What's yes, terrifying when is when such people rise to powers of position, whether financially or, I don't know how you categorize this, to the top of the country, mm-hmm. where their best interests aren't for the people, but for themselves.
Yep, power, and authority,
and it's
financial
scary.
Gain.
And, you know, I think in my lifetime, I've never seen a time where there's probably been more incompetence and mistrust. It seems that something's going to break and give here.
Yes.
I hope it changes, not just in the medical community.
Across the board.
But across the board. There needs to be a cleansing and a reset. Again, as we talked about Sunday, coming back to center of, listen, acknowledging what is wrong in our world and what is right. The only way we can do that is if we adjust ourselves to a independent standard. And that standard is the moral law we were given by God. You can't run on the I feel ticket and get where we need to go.
That's correct. You're right.
Feelings are very fleeting and they change every day. We have our work cut out for us. We have challenges. You know, like right now, one of our highest systems that helps us discern right from wrong. You know, right now they're wrestling with one of the people they're going to put on. They can't even tell you what a woman is. And
that should scare everyone.
It should. Again. But I think we live in a time where people are okay with that. And it further indicates what a problem we have. Because answering that question isn't hard.
No.
Unless you live in a world of delusion. And I think the scary part is that's part of our problem, is most people aren't aware of how delusional we've become.
I think that's very true. It's asleep at the wheel, per se.
The Bible warns there are wolves in sheep's clothing, and I think all of us would do well to heed that warning.
I totally agree. This has been Blindly Obvious. As always, if we can see it, you can see it too. Visit our website at www.blindlyobvious.com, where you can find your favorite podcast listening location, as well as a little bit about us. We're so happy that you're here, and we hope these are just the conversations you've been looking for. Peace, love, and God bless.